Happy Thursday to each and every one of you who are listening. My name is Linda Sims, and the name of the show is called A Voice of a People, here live on WGH Talk. Also streaming live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. You can also download a free app called TuneIn and search on any electronic device. WWGH. Also, you can call in during a live broadcast by calling 740-383-9944. Or if you're interested in being a guest on the show, please call 740-361-1162. Okay, now we are moving right along in this year, as we all have become aware of. Today is March the 2nd. And from what I understand, we're even turning up the clocks an hour this Saturday. Wow. We think we're going fast now. Just wait, right? Absolutely. Let me share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People, starting with Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC, of 1325 North Main Street here in Marion, Ohio. Phone number there is 740-382-8552. Also, we have Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson of 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. Phone there, 740-223-1515, or www.logoschristianministries.com. Ongoing announcement, free produce, April the 15th, begins at 12 noon until 2 p.m. Free produce, April the 15th, 12 noon until 2 p.m. We have Cheryl Lee. She is the coordinator for Child's Evangelism Fellowship, known as the Good News Clubs, which are located in every elementary school in Marion City, Marion County, and North Union Counties. They are hosting a luncheon and silent auction this Saturday, March the 4th, at Cornerstone Alliance Church. It begins at 10:30 until 2 p.m. Now, the luncheon is a spaghetti dinner with a $10 donation. If you would like to purchase your tickets in advance or have some new donations or lightly used donations, please contact Cheryl Lee at 740-262-0939. And hopefully we will see you at the luncheon Saturday, especially if you like auctions. They'll have a lot of things for you to choose from. I really like it. I've been going, I think, every year they've had it, maybe except for one year. And I hope to be there this Saturday. So hope to see you there, okay? All right. I like to start my show off with a thought for today. And this thought is titled Resilience. Resilience is your personal power, your inner strength that allows you to rise above difficult circumstances and bounce back stronger than before the challenge. With such vitality, nothing can bring you down or destabilize you. So that's a good thought for us today. And if you would like to share that with someone else, please do. It's very positive, and we want to talk about positive things, and we want to stay positive. There's so much negative to concentrate on and be a part of, but let us rise above that. Let us use our resilience and move forward. Now, I turn my attention to my guest today, Dan Stahl. How are you today, Dan?
I'm fine, and you?
I'm doing well, doing well.
And thank you for having me back again.
Oh, of course, of course. We didn't get to finish last time you were here. I know, hold on one second. Now, Dan, are you a lifelong resident of Marion, Ohio?
Yes, I am. Was born here. The only time I really spent away from Marion was when I went to college, two different colleges. I was born and raised here.
Okay, that's what I put on the Facebook Live. We're also Facebook Live. You can go to my page, Linda Sims. If you have any comments, you can go to the comment section and make some comments. I will be reading them periodically. So you're welcome to do that, and thank you so much. Now, Dan's family has been outstanding in the growth of Marion, Ohio. And I know when he was here last year, I would just like to recap some things that his father was a part of in Marion. Could you tell us a little bit more about your father and some of the things he did?
My father was an engineer with the Scioto power plant, which later became the Ohio Edison, as we know it today, the Ohio Edison Company, and it was located down just north of Prospect. But he was a kind of a mix between a civil and electrical engineer. He was both, really.
Okay.
He did a lot of laying out of power lines. He would do the surveying portion of it from this location, the Marion location, to clear down to the Ohio River. And then he would, after he had everything laid out as to where they were going to, the path they were going to take, he would size the power requirements for the areas that were involved. And then, of course, he would basically engineer the electrical portion of it.
Wow. I know you said he also strung wires.
Well, he laid out in his surveying the locations of where the wires were going to go.
Okay, okay.
He did not physically do
that. Okay,
that's what he would delegate to the crews that
did do the wiring.
Yes. They would install the towers and the lines and everything.
Well, great, great.
Based on where he told them to put them.
Right. I think that is great, though. I mean, we still have Ohio Edison right now. You know, we still pay them for our electrical supply.
We get a little frustrated with some of the amounts that we have to pay.
Right,
right. They fluctuate, and we have to sometimes call them and ask them to justify what they've charged us.
But they're still around. Praise God. That is beautiful. I love that. I love that about your family. And like you said, you know, they were in Marion while the roads were still dirt.
Yes. In fact, the Smeltzers, which were my great-grandparents, that was a dirt road. And they, of course, that was named after them. They developed that area.
That's great. That is so great. So hopefully, those of you who are listening, I hope you are enjoying Dan Stahl's history of his family. And my knowledge is that the Marion Star did an extensive report, a documentary on him and his family. Now, Dan, you a lifetime resident of Marion, Ohio, and you said that you attended, was it Harding High School here in Marion?
That's correct.
Right, and you were in the athletics?
I was. I was involved. I played 1 year of football. And then I got banged up pretty good. My folks said, son,
say banged
you better
up.
Pick another sport because we're not going to sign for you to play another year of football.
Oh, my.
So I concentrated. I was already involved in track and cross country. So I decided I better focus on that.
Right.
I turned out as was appointed the captain of the cross country team my senior year, and was involved in the track team as well, and was the cross country team that I was captain of. We were district champs that year, and then we placed 10th in the state. Then on the track team, I was basically a quarter miler. I ran the open quarter, and then I also was on the mile relay team. And we had a good season. We broke the Buckeye Conference record, and that qualified us to go to the state. However, the boys that we competed against were from Cleveland East Tech, and not only did they beat us, they broke the state record that
year.
Oh,
really?
So it was nice, if you're going to get beat with somebody that accomplishes something.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Wow. You don't want to get beat by the underdog.
Not at all. And we did get to run in Ohio Stadium before they took the track out. you know, they eventually removed the track and added more seats. They lowered the field.
Where at?
In Ohio Stadium.
Okay.
And it was a real treat to run on that track, knowing that Jesse Owens had run on that track.
Whoa.
I thought when I was standing in there before the meet started looking around, I thought the rich history of this, not only for football,
mm-hmm.
but that's where they had their track events before they had the Jesse Owens stadium that was, of course, built and dedicated to him.
Mm-mm-mm. Jesse Owens. He ran over there in, what was that?
In the Olympics.
Yeah,
in
the
Germany,
Olympics.
And Hitler was not too pleased with his performance,
mm-hmm.
as he broke records.
Jesse Owens. Yeah, they made a movie dedicated to him as well. Yeah, I think I've seen it
and
a time or two.
I remember being in Ohio Stadium the day that the band dedicated to the Owens family. It was
mm-hmm.
his daughter. He had already passed, and that was quite a day.
Wow.
A very eventful day.
Wow, one of our greats. Jesse Owens, one of our greats. Wow, that is something. I bet that was, you felt honored to do that, to run on that field. And not just
it
you,
was,
probably all of you.
Well, yes, it was,
mm-hmm.
we looked at it as a real privilege to be able, fortunately, you know, we qualified to be able to run there, but just to run on that track was...
So cross country, what type of conditioning did that take to be a cross country runner?
Well, the course that we ran was the old Merrittdale golf course, which is no longer around. And it was laid out in a 2 mile course. And during the summer, I would train all summer,
mm-hmm.
because our schedule started in the fall.
Right, right.
And it would go clear up until late October and November when it got pretty chilly. Because I remember running the state cross country meet and it was snowing. And I remember my legs were numb when I finished the race. I would train with others older than myself,
mm-hmm.
some of the juniors. I started, of course, as a sophomore. And these fellows that I trained with, I always tried to train with somebody that was better than myself. So
right,
I could
right.
improve myself. And they were all Ohio caliber. And that helped me improve. And of course, we ran more than 2 miles a day because we wanted to improve our endurance,
right,
and
right.
so forth. And we ran all summer, and we had what they called a 100-mile club back then. And you had to be a member of that. You had to run at least that during the summer.
Hmm.
And then they had what we called a speed club.
Okay.
And once you was timed in the event during the regular season, if you made improvements in your time, then you became a member of the speed club, they called it, once you broke into a certain time
right.
category.
Right.
And I remember the coach... would give us only loan, we'll call it a loan. You didn't purchase your shoes, but if you broke into a certain time bracket, you were going to receive, at that time, what was classified, the track shoe was by Adidas.
Okay.
And it was light as a feather. And it was nice to have those to use.
Okay, Adidas. I do not like heavy shoes on my feet.
Well, I would train, and I bought a pair of track shoes off of a friend of mine that had graduated. I trained with him up until the time he graduated, but they had a steel plate in them,
mm-hmm.
and those were very heavy. But I thought, you know, once I get into a meet, I use those for practice.
Right.
Once I was able to break into the time bracket where I got those light shoes, and you felt like you were flying.
That was a good strategy, though. You're right. You're right. You know, after dragging around something heavy. You know, I've seen people even run with those weights around their ankles. You know, at least 2 pounders, you know, on each foot. They're like, wow, okay. So
and then I found out something interesting when I was in the Ohio State band, too. The drum major, one of the drum majors told me after he had completed the tryouts and was...
Bring your mic a little closer.
Was awarded the drum major position. He said the director gave him a slip of paper, and he says, take this down to the athletic department and get your football shoes. And he said, what? He said, you're going to need those. He says, when you come down that ramp and hit that grass, he says, you're going to be glad you had those on, or you'll wind up on your rear end.
Cleats, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I have some pictures of some of the drum majors and some of the information that I've saved down through the years, that when they get into the strutting position and go back before they do their back bend and they have their leg up in the air, you can see the cleats on the bottom of their shoes.
That's true.
They're glad they had them on, too.
Yes, yes. Because, you know, sometimes that grass is wet out there, you know.
Well, that was the whole thing, because of course the ramp is concrete, and you got to be careful on that too if you have cleats. But once you hit the grass, you know, you got to be careful.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. And you did share with us that you were a part of the musical at Harding High School, Stardusters.
It was in the dance band, the Stardusters, and we were very fortunate one of the years that I was in, to have Alice McLean, which at that time was Miss Ohio. She had just graduated from Harding, but she sang with us at times.
Okay.
And we thought that was really cool to have Miss Ohio singing with us. That was a very rewarding experience. We played for a lot of dances around in the county.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the county schools at that time were still individual schools. They had not consolidated yet, so it was really fun to go around and play for their proms.
Right.
Had a lot of interesting experiences and met a lot of young ladies that way.
I bet you did. Do you remember what year the old Harding High School was built?
In not the old one. Are you talking the one over on
Seminole Avenue?
Seminole. Okay, that was built in 54. They started in 53, the construction, but it was completed because that was the first graduating class.
Okay.
It was in 54.
And that's the one you attended?
No, I was in the class of 61. That's the school I attended.
Right.
But I didn't graduate till
61. Okay. I don't know if you knew Jackie Scott. Did you know of him?
I did not.
He used to play with the Stardusters. But
do you
that
know
was
what years?
No, it was probably after your time, though. Yeah, I may have been 9th grade or somewhere around there, and that would be late '60s, mid '60s.
Okay, I would have been in and out.
Right, in and out. You sure would have been. 1954. So it's not really an old school. Would that make it 70 years old? 54. No. Yeah.
Not at all.
Yeah.
And, of course, it's still being used.
Oh, yeah.
And they've expanded it a little bit as well. We thought it was pretty big because we had, you know, the 3 junior high schools, Edison, Taft, and Baker.
Right.
And then we all wound up over there our sophomore year. And I remember going from one end of that. If you had a class at one end of the building and you had to go to the other end, You had to high step it.
Right.
Make it.
Yes, you did. Even when I went there, yeah. You had to run. And they had that court in the middle.
Exactly.
You know. I wouldn't even think about going through that court. I think I went through that court one time, but you're right. It was a big school compared.
It was like a track meet inside there.
It was. You know how many times I was late for class? Oh, my gosh. Especially your first year there, right?
Yeah, the first week particularly was a mess.
Mm-hmm. You know, it sure
trying
was.
Trying to adapt to everything that was involved.
And they had the classes separated so far apart, you know, like upstairs, downstairs,
yeah,
around the corner.
It was quite a challenge to,
yes,
you know, to start
was.
With.
I loved it, though, because it made you feel like you were growing up, you was headed for adulthood, you know, so it was something new and different.
It was quite intimidating.
Yes.
That first week, I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, whoa, this is gonna be something else.
And it was. It truly was. And I loved the games and basketball games. And
well, we had some great teams back then. In fact, my sophomore year '59 was when they had that state championship football team. And those were some special athletes that were on that, and a lot of them went on to major colleges and made names for themselves.
That is good.
And I got to see two of those fellas, and which were I ran track with my sophomore year, Bob Middleton and Tom Pritchard. Bob Middleton went to play for Woody at Ohio State.
Okay.
And Tom went to play at Michigan, and he was the punter. And also, he was a defensive back. They did not play against each other one-on-one.
Okay.
But I got to see both of them play that day because I was in the state band, and we were up there in the big house.
Okay. The big house. State University. Whoa. Well, at least you've had a lot of experience, you know, as a young man in the state of Ohio. So you've never even left this state as far as living somewhere else. You've always stayed here.
Outside of the fact that I did live in Columbus the time that I was at Ohio State, and then I lived in Angola, Indiana, when I went to college over there.
Okay.
For a couple of years. But then, of course, after graduation, I came back and started at Marion Power Shovel here in Marion. And spent 13 years there, and then I was I went over to Fairfield Engineering, was there 30 years. So I did a lot of traveling when I was with Fairfield for about 25 years, which was mostly travel within the United States, but mm-hmm. there was one project that we had in Cairo, Egypt, that I was involved with.
Okay.
So I got to go over there for that.
Wow. And what was Egypt like?
I had not traveled to any foreign country before. I had been to Mexico and Canada, but I didn't consider that as, you know, outside of North America. I was rather intimidated by the location there in Cairo because the day that I landed there, I went from Columbus to New York, New York to Amsterdam, Amsterdam to Cairo. And as soon as we landed in Cairo, I noticed a bunch of military. There was a bunch of trucks that pulled up, and these soldiers got out and surrounded the plane, which I did not know was typical.
Mm-hmm.
And that really got my attention. You know, I thought, oh, what am I getting into here? And then as soon as I got off the plane, I was to connect with the contractor that was taking care of our equipment. It was installing our equipment on the job site. And he was from Rome, Italy. And he took my passport. You know,
mm-hmm.
and I, right away, I got like a wake-up call there, and I thought, I don't know about whether I should have committed to running this project or not, but It was interesting. Of course, you realized that you were in an area that is so rich in history.
Mm-hmm.
You could see the pyramids. And the last night in Cairo, I spent at the Hilton on the Nile River. And I looked out at that and I thought, wow, this is, you know, it finally hit me where I was at.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
This is so rich in history.
Mm. Wow. Probably breathtaking.
It was. It was.
Because they say those pyramids are huge.
Oh, they're mammoth.
Wow. Maybe I'll get to see them one day. You know, up front. A lot of people are traveling to Dubai now. I don't know if it has the history that Egypt has, though.
I don't know, but from what little I've seen of it, it looks like a very fascinating
city.
Place.
Huh? Yes, it does.
I did watch a Formula One race last year from Dubai. They have that, which, you know, is a road racing course. They run the some of the Indy type cars. They're a little bit a step above the Indy car. They're the fastest race cars for road racing in the world.
Okay.
And they have in Europe, Formula One racing is kind of like IndyCar racing is over here, because not only do they do the 500, the IndyCars, but they have road courses all over the United States. But the Formula One, they just race in Europe.
Okay.
I think there's maybe one race that they do bring over here at the end of their season, their regular season. But I remember there was one that took place in Dubai.
Okay. All right. Racing. Wow. And you also have like civic events down here. Or do you want to do education? Because you have that listed as well.
I think we covered
that, right?
Education,
right?
Pretty much in the first interview. As far as the civic events is concerned, I joined a group called the Active 2030 Club International here in Marion, and as other civic organizations, they had a project, you know, like they all seem to have, they're focused on providing activities geared for certain activities, and ours was the Speech and Hearing Therapy Center at
mm-hmm.
in Marion at the time, that we would raise money to help them fund their program, and we'd have different projects and so forth. I was president of that, and then later was the Ohio District Governor, represented Ohio at the International Convention that we had in Mexico City at that time. And then there's a club called the Gyro International, which is still in existence here in Marion. And that's basically a friendship club of professional business people. We have some judges, attorneys, business owners here in Marion that are members of that organization. And we basically we get together once a month and have social activities. Our home base is the country club. In fact, we have a meeting there tonight. And
at the Marion Country Club?
At the Marion Country Club.
Okay.
And once a month we have activities which include the wives or girlfriends, whatever the situation may be,
mm-hmm.
as far as our members go.
Right.
Because there are a number of us that are widowers that you know, but it's open to, you know, bringing your wife or girlfriend or whatever the case may be, and we'll do something like we'll go out of town maybe to a restaurant,
mm-hmm.
either in Columbus or Bucyrus. They have that 30 out on Route 30 there.
Okay.
Barbecue place. We'll do activities like that.
Good. Keeps you busy.
It does. Yeah, and I'm a past president of that organization as well.
So how long you been a widow?
In 2019, May of 2019, my wife passed away.
It's not too long ago.
Not really, yeah.
You think about remarrying, or you just done with
it? If it happens, it happens, and if not, I'm not going to get, you know,
right,
excited about it. I have a few ladies that I see from time to time, but
well, that's good.
You know, nothing serious with anybody. Just somebody to go to the theater with or dinner.
That's good, though.
At this point,
right.
But if something develops beyond that, you know, so be it.
So be it, right? At least you're keeping busy and you're not staying to yourself.
I am.
That's
yes.
The best thing you can do.
I've got a couple of projects I'm working on that people have encouraged me to get involved with. So that's and it's a kind of a time consuming project. Both of these projects are so it's keeping me out of trouble.
Well, good. Good. We don't want trouble, right?
No.
We don't want that.
I'm too old to get in trouble.
Well, that depends. What kind of trouble you're talking about? But I want to visit this again. Also, your engineering career. What happened that we have? Let me ask this question first. Do we have any engineering companies right now in Marion, Ohio?
Are you referring to consulting engineering companies?
Any type of engineering?
Not really.
So, who takes care of that now?
Well, there are other
different types, right?
Companies. I mean, outside of Marion, that let's look at what we call a consulting engineer.
Mm-hmm.
They are involved with various types of projects, but looking back at some here in Marion, they had the Floyd Brown group, which focused on water, wastewater
treatment
facilities.
Yes.
That they designed, and because I had given presentations to them before, because in the business that Fairfield was in, we had to get listed in the specifications that came out. We had to be approved and then listed before we could even bid on a job. And that's true with a lot of these consulting firms. I mean, you had, depending on what they were involved with, you know, whether it was water, wastewater, or building other facilities like the Intel plant and so forth that's going in down around New Albany.
Mm-hmm. Good. I know there are different types of engineers, you know, for different types of projects. I know that we have engineers in Marion, Ohio.
Oh, yes, there are engineers. And these, most of these people are classified professional engineers.
Right. City engineer and county engineers.
Exactly.
Right.
They are required to carry that. Or have that classification because of what they do. I mean, it's you've got to be at the top of the game.
Right. Because, you know, I'm working on a project now as far as maybe possibility of an engineering, trying to find a way for us to combat the railroad tracks as far as the west end of town,
right,
where they're cutting off all the roadways and we have no way out of there, right? So, Lisa Kenton Avenue, that's the
right
problem.
I
right
know,
there.
Right where you're,
right, Kenton Avenue.
You're talking about. That's been a nightmare.
Yes, it has
for
been.
Years.
Yes, it has been. And we did see a diagram that was done in 1970, but I don't think they've revisited that area since then. But we're trying to come together as a city, get our city
right
behind it, so we can find some type of solution. We need a solution to that problem.
That's,
so we can get some commerce,
yes,
out there. You know, I mean, the value of
That is, has been a bottleneck and has discouraged a lot of things going that direction.
Yes, it has. And still does.
Oh,
you know,
yes.
Sure even does. Those of us who live out that way, it discourages us, you know, like,
of
well,
course.
How are we supposed to get around these things, you know? And I'm like this. I'm not trying to stop what the railroad is doing, because I know Marion was kind of built around railroads.
Exactly.
Right, you know. But it should not stop us from doing what we have to do as well, you
That's
know.
That's correct.
So yeah. We have to find a way.
Find a solution that will be suitable for everybody involved.
For everybody.
Yeah.
Yes, for everybody. And it's
exactly.
That Canton Avenue crossing. That's exactly what it is. So.
Oh, yes. I remember that from way back.
Way back, huh?
Yeah. I cursed that along a lot of times.
Whoa. Wow. Wow. You know, now I pray that the Lord give us some witty inventions of how to maneuver around this thing, you know? I just...
Yeah, there's... I don't know if of course there are, as Glenn had mentioned during his interview, there are, you know, either overpass or a tunnel. There's a variety of ways they can go with it, but of course economics comes into play there. What's going to be the most economical way to
right.
resolve that problem?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they'll come up with something different than that. I don't know what that might be, but I'm
I don't
sure
either.
They're going to investigate all avenues because we must have a solution to that. We've gone
too many years
with that problem.
Well, maybe I'm praying. Like I said, maybe the Lord will give someone some witty inventions of what to do and how to do it, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah, give somebody a brainstorm.
Yes.
To,
he's able.
Something that we've not thought about in the past.
Right.
Maybe there's a solution that might be obvious, but nobody's come up with.
We have I forgot to mention this to Glenn. We have a website, Canton Avenue Railroad Crossings, and people are taking pictures and putting documentaries on there, you know, so that's an avenue for us. Thank God for this new technology, right?
Right.
Right, so...
Well, hopefully they might be able to, with the railroad being all over the country and having similar problems, maybe they can offer something, a solution to it that we've not considered.
Maybe so. So we're going to be trying to find out what's going on, what can go on for us here in Marion, Ohio,
exactly.
as well. Now, it says here that you had an idea to take some new technology from Sweden and adapt it to the wastewater industry of North America. Could you tell us a little bit about that? And you got an award for that as well.
Yes, that was... what was known as the Sicon conveyor. When I was at the Fairfield Engineering Company, at that time they had found this product in Sweden, in Helsingborg, Sweden, that they used for applications in other industries. In the steel, the rubber industry, the glass industry, and so forth, and they brought that to the United States. Well, it got my attention, and I started studying that, and I thought that's something that could really go a long way to resolve some of the issues that we have in the wastewater industry.
Mm-hmm.
And now, they did have some similar applications in Europe in handling sludge, which is a nasty product, as we all know.
Right.
And can be dangerous, too, as it could have contained cancer-causing materials. So I worked out a deal with the Sicon with a Mr. Robert Johansson, and he agreed to bring that to the United States. And we said the best, we discussed, we co-authored a paper together.
Okay.
Robert and I did, suited for our situation over here. And we took that to the Water Environment Federation International Show in Los Angeles in 2000. And, of course, we had to submit an abstract, which they evaluated and everything. And based on what we had come up with, they felt that was a product that was going to revolutionize the industry in the water wastewater field.
Mm-hmm.
So we were awarded. Of course, there's people competing all over the globe for this award, submitting other applications,
right,
or other products for different applications. But they felt that this warranted the Innovative Technology Award, so we were awarded that, and it brought a lot of attention to. We had a model that we displayed out there, and it was the highlight of that show in 2000, and it helped bring attention to our other products as well.
Okay.
Because I remember working the show that some people said, well, I didn't know you guys made this or whatever.
Right.
So it was a great promotional tool for not only the water wastewater division, but it helped the other industrial division that we had at Fairfield as well.
Okay.
It improved their sales. So we were very pleased that we got that.
Wow, okay. This took place in Los Angeles?
In Los Angeles,
in
yes.
In 2000.
Right, and it was what we would call, if you want to equate it to the Oscar Award or so forth, or mm-hmm. something of that nature, that's what it was equal to in our business.
Okay, wow. Yep. So you were married to your wife 46 years.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. That was a long marriage.
Very, very fortunate to have a relationship that lasted that long. Of course, didn't want it to come to an end, but
of course not.
That's
but you know,
part
that's
of our,
yeah.
part of life. The
yes,
life
it
cycle.
Is. Yes, it is. And that's a long run.
It is.
For marriage nowadays, right?
Oh, yeah. I've seen some. I haven't run into too many that have been in that category.
That's true. That's true. That's a long run. You know, we commend people who have made it that far, you know, that long. And was she your childhood sweetheart?
No. In fact, I did not know her in school. She was 4 years ahead of me.
Oh, okay.
But I always dated younger girls. And then I wind up marrying one that's 4 years older.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just one of those things, you know, the chemistry and everything rolled into one.
Okay.
That it worked.
Amen. They do work, that's for sure. Oh, my. 4 years. She had a lot of wisdom.
Yes, she did. And she worked at the Epworth Preschool Daycare. And
but they still have that, don't they?
Well, you know, I haven't really followed that.
I think they
very
do.
Very much. But she was in a capacity where she was kind of the jack of all trades, mm-hmm. let's say. She did some financial accounting work along with being a receptionist, and then if a teacher for some reason was ill or whatever, she might substitute for a class. But she just had a knack for dealing with the kids when they got out of sorts. The teachers, you know, maybe the child was disrupting the class or mm-hmm. something. They would send them down to her if they had thrown up their arms and said, we're done with this kid for, you know,
right,
for
yeah.
now. We they would send them to her, and she just had a way of, without, well, you were not allowed to obviously spank the children
or
anything. Just had her natural way of dealing with kids, because I know with our granddaughter, she would do that with her, just sit her down and talk to her, and they would talk through the problem, whatever mm-hmm. it might be. And wow. I remember her telling me she would come home and share these stories with me about her experiences there. And some of the kids got to where when the teacher was having a problem with them, they kind of sensed what was going to happen. They said, "We want to go see Claudia." Because they knew what was coming.
Right. And, you know, maybe she had a peacefulness about her.
She did.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was just a natural, God-given
mm-hmm, a gift.
Gift that she had. And
everybody doesn't have that gift where they can talk to children.
She was almost killed in an automobile accident about 25 years ago. And that she was no longer able to work after that. And that's the part that she missed the most, was up there at Epworth.
Out of all
the jobs that she'd ever had, that, I mean, she would have worked for nothing there because she enjoyed it.
The children,
and,
I'm sure.
And like to see the results of her activities.
Yeah, her work, yeah. Wow, that's great. Well, thank you, Dan. We are out of time. Time goes by so fast, doesn't it?
It sure does, yeah.
When you're having fun. Thank you for coming and being my guest today on A Voice of a People. Again, my name is Linda Sims, and continue to listen to our show. We're trying to bring you good and sound information and share some things with you as far as our community is concerned, politics. We're just around about the conversation. So thank you once again. Hopefully everyone will enjoy your weekend. Don't forget, this is March already, and the clocks go up an hour, I think, being effective for Sunday morning. So this is what I have to say to you. Till next time, be blessed. God, thank you.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 LP, Maryland.